The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
God began to undo my view of him and bust it up.
Coming up, author and Bible teacher Jenny Allen offers a fresh perspective on surrendering to God.
We had so limited him because we were afraid and we didn't trust him, and we thought if we gave him everything that he might take us up on it. And he did. I can't promise you that.
What is your anything? Next.
Come into your home or wherever you happen to be watching. I'm James Robinson. My wife Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. Jenny Allen is with us. She did a program earlier with us. I hope you saw it. As a matter of fact, we talked about a great Bible study DVD series called Stuck. It's beautifully presented, and it encourages people to get in a circle and get honest and get unstuck. Powerful teaching. She's a very gifted teacher, and I really believe she's serious about God. Wonderful education, Dallas Theological Seminary. What a great, real, let's say, foundation, stone for truth and biblical truth and relevance at Dallas Theological, in my opinion, is a treasure. We got two great seminaries right here, many other Bible schools here, but, you know, Southwestern and Dallas Theological, very, very true to the Word of God and committed to it. Well, she's a graduate there, Tony Evans, Priscilla Shower, from Dallas Theological, many of our friends, many people who are here on the program many times. As a matter of fact, many of their board members are the ones that encourage Indivisible, of all things, for James Robinson, Protestant, to write a book with a Catholic. You say, my goodness, what happened to Dallas Theological? Well, we can all have a little awakening in our days, and they encourage this because they know that the people of faith have got to find common ground to address our legitimate, common concerns appropriately, even though we may have some differences. And now, as a Dallas Theological graduate, would you agree that you've got to have freedom in order to freely demonstrate your faith and freely discuss your faith, even if there are differences? You got to have freedom to do it.
I would agree with that.
So we got to preserve it, don't we?
Yes.
I'm trying to do that so you can keep declaring and demonstrating, and we can keep discussing. And I know you appreciate that. Anything.
I do.
Now, you told me, and this implies something right here. You got a little key that says anything, but then you got this little subheading. You know, the subheading is very, very important. A lot of people don't seem to realize that. Anything. Doesn't mean we're just going to talk about anything.
No.
But we're going to talk about anything. All right, here it is. The prayer that unlocked my God and my soul. Okay, clue us in. Tell us what's here.
Well, about 3 years ago, my husband and I were in ministry, and I would say were very, had the appearance of loving God, had the appearance of a life that was blessed and in order, and that good things were happening and God was using us. And there's no doubt we were saved and had come to a saving faith. But I was reading a blog of a girl in Uganda, and she was from Nashville, Tennessee. And I'm sitting on my bathroom floor one night because I've heard about this girl, and it's 1 a.m. and I just can't go to sleep because I can't quit reading about this girl that is living this surrendered life to God. And it's a kind of a risky, costly life. She's adopted 13 kids off of the street, 13 little girls, at 21, 22 years old. And so I'm reading this, and I mean, everything in me is just coming unglued because I'm thinking, you are messing with me. You're supposed to have community. How are you ever gonna get married? What about your parents? What do they think? And it just was exposing all of these values that had defined my life, and it was safe and comfortable and easy. And if faith wasn't safe and comfortable and easy, I thought it probably isn't from God. And I'm watching this girl, and she is just living this very uncomfortable life. And yet it is screaming of the glory of God. And I was so jealous. I just wanted, not necessarily to be in Africa with 13 children, but I wanted God like that. I wanted to talk about God the way that she was. I wanted to surrender to God in the way that she was. And so The next morning I woke up and of course I had to load the dishwasher and take care of kids, and I wasn't going to get on a plane to Africa that day. But God began to undo my view of him and bust it up. And he has led us, my husband and I, to pray soon after that, a prayer. And it's so simple. It's just little words, but we prayed, God, we will do anything. And we just began to hand him the things that we loved really more than him, if we were honest. And so it was painful, and it still is. I mean, it is costly, and we continue to see God's hand and blessing of obedience, but it's also messy and imperfect and often costly. So yeah, it's been a journey.
What's going to happen to somebody that reads these
things? Sorry,
Are they headed for Africa?
No. They are the only call in this book. There is no specific call to adopt or sponsor a child, or while all of those things, I believe, are the heart of God, I believe every one of our stories is different. And he has written a unique path for us. And the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit is when we push in and we say, God, okay, you have me, you have every piece of me. And we literally were taking tangible little parts of our life and saying, God, you have this, you can have it. And we're handing it to him. He started to show us, he's thanking us, saying, yes, I know, I really had it all anyway. Thanks for the gesture. But he did appreciate the gesture because we had been loving those things so much. And he's so adamant that, you know, Jesus boils down all of the commandments to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. That was the most important thing Jesus said. And so for me to push away all of this and say, God, you can have it. Anything you want, anything that I have, all of my days here, all of my decisions, my husband the same, his job. I mean, we just said, you've got us. And it was just God sprung to life for us. We had so limited him because we were afraid and we didn't trust him. And we thought if we gave him everything that he might take us up on it. And he did. I can't promise you that he won't. But it is so much better than where I was, because we know, I mean, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, he had everything and it was chasing the wind. So at the end of the day, those things we're holding onto, it's wind and we feel it. It slips out of our fingers and we can't seem to bottle it and put it inside and make ourselves feel better, you know? We all feel that.
It's all vanity. It's all emptiness. It's all basically nothing. It all vanishes. I understand what she's talking about. And I know what it's like to be very poor.
Yeah.
And then I know what it's like to be very successful. And the greatest test in this life, for all of you here in the studio, all of you at home, the greatest test on planet Earth is great success. Mm. And everybody doesn't face that test. It's the greatest test. It doesn't mean that it's the most necessarily difficult test, but it's the biggest, greatest test because it can become all-consuming. Mm-hmm. And I experienced great success as a minister. And by the way, the even greater danger is great success in the spiritual realm, in ministry. Mm. That's when you really have to be careful. I wasn't, and I really didn't do a whole lot right. I operated in the gifts, became totally defeated because I was in love with the things of the world. I actually became enamored with the success and who I thought I was and who people seemed to say that I was. Mm. And I became defeated, and the stuff really becomes like idols. And the Lord really had to break me and strip me. And I'm very grateful that he did. But something happened in this stripping process. I think it's very important for people to hear this. I remember when I knew that stuff had me, I remember saying to God, why don't you just take everything away from me? Just take everything. And God just like shouted, so you'll love me more than nothing? He said, what if I give you everything to see if you love me more than everything? And that kind of stunned me, but he did.
Yeah.
Every dream, everything I ever thought, these things happen. But here's the beauty of it all. It's very important because this is what I hear you saying.
Yeah.
And I really believe if we don't get this, you'll still be fishing around trying to get it.
Yeah.
Because what happened is when I fell in love with him, the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace.
Yeah.
Grace to lay it down, grace to say, I'll do anything, anytime, anywhere for anyone when you speak. Mm. And that really happened to me. Now, it's not stuff. I mean, I can tell you that. God's listening. He knows. But I really didn't mean that. And something happened inside of me. And I may be wrong about this, but I feel like this is the anything that God's trying to bring people to today.
Yeah.
And that this is where he's trying to bring you to. And here's a mistake people can make. They can think, well, it just means sell the house, move in a hut, move to a monastery, sell everything, and all of that kind of stuff.
No.
You see, and there's where we make the mistake. It may be that. God may tell many of you, sell your house. Move out of it. But what he is for sure telling you is, don't love your house. Mm-hmm. Don't love the things of this world. Appreciate them. Enjoy them. I gave you all things richly to enjoy, but if they become an idol, if they consume you, they get your love and devotion and attention inappropriately, they become a yoke of bondage.
Absolutely. And I think that's what's so powerful about uttering those words. I've had so many people say to me, I don't know what happened after I read this book, but I'm scared because I don't know if I can pray these words. And so it exposed that there was something that they were afraid to lose. There was, it kind of exposed it. And I don't think it is necessarily that we just throw everything in the trash. I mean, God
is... willing to. You're going to be willing to forsake everything.
Saying,
he said, if you're not willing to forsake everything, you don't even have me.
Right.
So you do lay it down.
It's a big call. I know. And I missed it. And I'd been a Christian for decades. And I had not been living a life of surrender. And I think what had to happen is I had to love God more and trust him more. And I had to understand that, you know, I mean, we are just not here for very long. We are only here for a few days. And when you, if you really start to get your head around that, if you really start to think about eternity with a God that has died for us and given everything for us and is calling us forever to be with him as his children, if you start to, it's crazy. I mean, we really believe crazy things. but if you do begin to get your head around that, you don't care what he says. You say, okay, whatever it is, no matter how hard, no matter how costly, I want that thing because I want my days here to be exactly what you plan for them, whatever it is, even if it is hard. I just look at the Bible and Esther and Moses and Jacob, all these people did not want the thing that God was telling them to do. I mean, Joseph is like, really, God, I don't want to go to prison. I don't want this hard life. And yet God's like, no, I have a path for you and a plan for you. And it's your story. And you've got to live your story because through your story, I will make myself seen and known in this world. And that is what I think this is about. It is about God's glory. It is not about each of us doing our fancy little life. It is about us saying, God, you have me. And will you just show yourself through me? Will you show yourself through this little life that really isn't very important, would you just take my little days and do whatever you want with them? And it's very rewarding. It's very costly, but it's very rewarding.
It's what Jesus said. You know, if there's another way, take this cup from me, but not my will, but mine be done. Jesus knew exactly where it was headed.
Yeah.
And he knew how painful it'd be. He said, if there's another way, however, not my will, but thine be done. It was what Peter did. It was what Paul did. It was what the apostles did.
Yeah.
And they died for Christ. I mean, Peter made a mess of things, ended up in his love being the keynote speaker at Pentecost and being an apostle that had so much power on him that people got in his shadow and they were healed by the glory and power of God. Mm. And but Simon Peter, when he was crucified, he said, I don't deserve to be crucified like Christ, so invert me. So legend says that they crucified him with his feet in the air. He was carried. Paul said, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing what awaits me there.
Yeah.
I'm being carried by the Spirit. I'm being constrained, compelled, controlled by love. And this is what you mean by anything. And if you redefine the anything in our finite minds, we'll all end up in a monastery with a vow of poverty, and we really haven't understood what anything means. It means being led by the Spirit. Mm. It means being carried, controlled, compelled by the Spirit.
Well, it's not about things. It's about Him.
Yes.
And how much, if we will just give Him our whole hearts and say, God, fill me with you.
Yes.
It's not about the riches of life.
No.
It's about the richness that He wants to fill us with.
Yes.
That helps us to live that life that will give us peace and joy and happiness in Him.
When I watched the movie Amazing Grace, and I watched William Wilberforce live this life. And my husband and I got in the car and we were just speechless. And we drove all the way home. And when we got home, we hadn't said anything. And he just looked at me and he was teary still. And he just said, I want to live a life for the glory of God. And that man suffered. I mean, he poured out his life. And yet we were just so jealous of him. We wanted to live like that. And I think it's hard. I mean, we're so comfortable. Everything's so easy. And I think that's why this is powerful, because when you push it in and you're dealing with a God who looks over and stands over the entire universe, and he stands over every generation, you don't know what he's going to do with you. I mean, he can do anything. He is God. And so there's a fear in it. And I think it brings you to a place of dependence. And I think that's what he was after in Adam and Eve. I think it's what he's been after in every single human on the earth ever since, is that we would look at God and say, I need you. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to get up today and do my life independently. I want to do whatever your spirit says and wherever you lead me.
And you had three children and you did something that just made no sense at all. Yeah. Would you tell
well,
our viewers
yeah,
what
he
did
doesn't,
you
do? God doesn't usually make a lot of sense. We had a bed in our son's room and we were finished having kids.
Had a room that nobody was in.
Well, actually, somebody was even in the room. A bed.
Okay, had
just
a bed.
Okay. And
spare bed.
Spare bed.
Beware if you have a spare bed.
Yeah.
They want to change channel. You have a spare bed.
That's good. That was one of the things that we offered to God, and it was so clear. I mean, we knew right away we're supposed to fill it. And we filled it with about the most beautiful, precious child that God has ever made. He is just amazing.
Where did he come
but
from?
He's busy. He came from Rwanda. Rwanda. And
where they had the genocide,
yeah.
Where you, viewers of Life Today, built the largest orphanage, placing 50,000 children or more in homes with the tribal groups that would kill the child, but no more, the healing power of God. Mm. But they don't let children out of Africa, but they did for a short period,
yeah.
And you got, what's his name?
His name's Cooper.
How does he say it?
Koopa. Koopa.
And how old is he?
He's 4 years old, and we got him about 8 months ago.
How did the children that were born to your marriage relationship like Koopa?
They think he's the greatest thing. And that's just it. I mean, it is so good to obey God. I mean, he writes good stories. I mean, this is a good story. And I'm just so moved by what he had for us. But I would not have chosen this. I wouldn't have chosen it. I mean, it was a risk. We have three other kids, and this is a 3.5-year-old little boy that's been raised in an institution, and he just comes in, and yes, he is a pill. Let me not fool
deny
anybody.
That.
He is a handful, and then about 100 more. And yet, it is just the most joyful addition to our lives. And
so that was really part of the anything, wasn't it?
That was one of the anythings. Sitting
yeah.
here is one of the anythings. There's a few.
I really would love you to get the book, Anything. We'll be glad to send you the book today to say thank you. And do you appreciate Jenny's story? Do you appreciate the journey that she's on with the Lord? And you know, you're a lot younger than Betty and me, and we don't even have grandchildren as young as your children. We've been around a long time. But can I just tell you something? I'm just as excited, and Betty's just as excited. As a couple, we're just as excited about saying we'll do anything, anytime, anywhere for anyone, and know that we mean it. And you know, we don't choose the journey oftentimes God takes us on. Jenny, I wouldn't have chosen the journey to write the book Indivisible, of all things, with a Catholic. How in the world is a Protestant, evangelical, write a book with a Catholic when we've been taught that we're to avoid one another? And yet, I'm telling you, God wants to do a great healing and bring all of us into a greater understanding of the Father and His love. God the Father, I really do believe that. And I've said anything for you and for your purpose, and I think that's really what you're trying to get people to say to God.
Yeah.
It's what you said, and we really, really appreciate you. We rejoice with you over...
Thank you.
...over Cooper and over the love of God that's being not only shared through you, but is inspiring others to release that love. You have been the greatest all over the world. You have no idea how often we wish we could give you a hug. Many of you meet us when we travel, and you say, can I give you a hug? And I got to be honest with you. I mean, I can look at Betty and understand why you'd want to give her a hug. But I think I know why you want to give us a hug. You have seen Jesus in the things we do together. We, you, all of us together. You see Jesus, and you kind of want to embrace that. Well, here's a chance. In our last week of mission feeding this time, we want to save some lives. Watch. No more regal, beautiful people, no more overlooked, downtrodden people, perhaps, than the African people. And I don't know how many more years God's going to give me, but boy, by the grace of God, I want to help be a part of turning that nation around, the greatest resource on that continent of the people, the children, not just the natural resources, but the great resource of the people. And love's going to transform it. It's doing it. And I'm asking you right now from the bottom of my heart, take a group of those kids. I saw those three standing there, taller child down. I said, would somebody take those three, $30, feed them for the next months? We got hundreds of thousands of them like that we find. So how'd you find so many? Because they're that desperate. And in the Sudan, the missionaries have just found another 20,000 where they were dying two a day just trying to get to our little feeding areas that we've set up with the hope of keeping them. And they said, if you stay, there'll be so many more coming. 20,000 we know will come if you'll just do it. And I said, well, we'll have to try to get the support to do it, and you're the support. And don't ever wonder, are you and Betty helping? We always do, and we do it joyfully. Would you put his arms of love around him, please? Dial the number, take your bank card. I'm asking you to. This is the last week during this emphasis. Make the largest gift you can possibly make. If you could give $1,000 and help us feed 100 children for the next month, you give a gift of 100 and help us feed 10, please. Write a check, make it to Life, go online, lifetoday.org, make the best gift you can today. Please do it. Whatever you do, we're giving life. You make the check to Life, that's what you're giving. We've got some gifts for you to bless you because you're actually giving the greatest gift. You're giving people a chance at life, life itself. Thank you for making the gift. By the way, if you get a busy when you're calling, be determined. Lives do depend on it, so I'm going to get through. As much as if I were desperate for help, this is a 911 call for them. I'm going to get through, and I'm going to help them. Thank you for doing it.
At this very moment, a child is drawing his last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like him face death as well. Today, you can make a difference and help save a life. In addition to the 400,000 children already in Life's Mission Feeding Program, our teams have found a region in South Sudan with another 20,000 children in need of immediate life-saving assistance. Our mission teams are in place, but we desperately need your help to replenish critically needed food supplies immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll rush you the Jesus Storybook Bible. This beautifully illustrated book will help your children discover for themselves that Jesus is at the center of God's great story of salvation and at the center of their lives, too. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request our new International Version and New King James Side-by-Side Bible with a 2-column format for easy comparison. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
You know, these children should be running around, playing, having fun. But that has been robbed from them because they are without food, they are without hope, they are struggling. And I ask if you can help us to give these children hope by giving them a bowl of food a day. It's amazing how that bowl of food every day adds hope to a child and changes their situation. We can make the difference. We can give them hope. We can give them a bowl of food. We need your help, and we need it now.
I do want to remind you, this is our last week now, the mission feeding emphasis, and I do want to mention this. If you'd like, you know, we're offering the Bible and the children's book, but if you say, hey, I'd really like to have that book that Jenny's written, that anything deal, you know, because part of the anything is you helping these desperately needy people. But we'll be glad to send you the book today to say thank you for your gift. And Betty and I want to say thanks to Jenny. Would you join us just saying thanks to you, Jenny? God bless you. And by the way, there is her website. If you say, I'd like her to come and teach in our church or our setting, or you want to get some of the material, it's in the bookstores, and she'll give you some information on the website. Thanks for watching. Thanks so much for your support.
Woman that you cannot just be friends with.
Getting out of the net tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.